If you have kids who are 12 or younger, they're technically not allowed to use the photo sharing app Instagram or many other social media platforms, but that may change soon. Facebook, which owns Instagram, says it's working on a version specifically for kids. The move was first reported by BuzzFeed News earlier this month, and Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg confirmed it during a congressional hearing last week. Here he is talking about the potential benefits of the plan.
I think helping people stay connected with friends and learn about different content online is broadly positive. There are clearly issues that need to be thought through and worked out, including how parents can control the experience of kids, especially kids under the age of 13. And we haven't worked through all of that yet, so we haven't kind of formally announced the plans, but I think that something like this could be quite helpful for a lot of people.
Others criticize the idea, saying it's a way for Facebook to lure kids into its services and make money off them down the road. Tell us what you think at 800-642-1234. How do you feel about the idea of a kid-friendly Instagram? Would you let your kids sign up, or do you think social media and kids are a bad mix? What protections or tools would you need in order to be okay with it? Do you see some value in having a social media platform where supervised kids can connect with their friends and not in the grown-up world of social media? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Sarah Domoff is an associate professor of clinical psychology and director of the Family Health Lab at Central Michigan University. She studies how technology affects kids and families. Sarah, thanks a lot for joining us today.
I'm happy to be here.
Well, you think about these issues a lot, I know, Sarah, and while we don't have a fully fleshed out plan, what is your reaction at first to this idea of an Instagram-type site oriented specifically for kids?
I think I have major concerns about whether or not the Facebook platform for kids, the Instagram Messenger for kids, would be appropriate for them, because we don't know yet what stipulations are going to be in place. And from what I know from parents and what they struggle with in managing their children's social media use is that it changes quickly. Restrictions or settings need to be updated frequently. It's hard to stay on track of all the risks. And there's so many different platforms out there that children are interested in. And it's just hard to keep up with it. And so there's a steep learning curve. And so when I first heard about this, of course, my red flags went off, because I know how hard it is for parents to navigate current platforms. And it's really going to be incumbent on the parents to navigate this new platform, which of course is going to be very challenging, because there's constant changes and, you know, that we don't know the risks yet. And that's also what's really hard. We haven't done research on it yet. It's still in development. And so it's hard to even provide guidance on what the risks are for parents.
One argument I could see for this is, okay, there are kids out using the existing social media platforms now and running into grown-ups and all the problems that can bring, even for other grown-ups. Maybe if there's a separate site for kids with parents to supervise, one place that catches on, maybe it would solve some of those problems of keeping up with all those different pools of social media. Do you think there's anything to that?
Well, I think what can be really challenging, regardless of whether it's designed just for kids, or if it's, you know, what children are using right now, which is the, you know, regular Instagram or Facebook and other types of social media platforms, is that it goes beyond just, you know, having kid friendly components. I think one thing that parents really struggle with is not just who they're interacting with on social media platforms, but when they're using it and persistent requests to get onto their mobile devices. And when we think about the risks for children when it comes to social media use, we care about what they're seeing, what content's being shared, who they're talking to, who they are messaging, who they're engaging with, as well as when they're using social media and digital media and their mobile devices. So in particular, there are many things that parents can do to mitigate some of the risks. But I'm yet to be convinced on, you know, the benefits of this for younger children.
Talking to Sarah Domoff from Central Michigan University, associate professor of clinical psychology there. She looks at technology and kids, looking at an idea from Facebook still in the planning stages, a possible Instagram site specifically for kids. You could join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts, questions, reactions. And Sarah, before we go to our callers, given that there are so many social media sites, could you let us know what Instagram, the current version, is and how it works?
Yeah, so Instagram is largely a photo sharing platform. You can post photos, you can share content. It is required to be at least 13 to get on there, but we do know, and based on my clinical work and interactions with the families, children younger than 13 are using Instagram. So it's really image focused, so more so than Twitter. As you know, Twitter is mainly text, where you can share some images, but with Instagram, it's very focused on sharing images, photos, and videos.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Patricia is with us in Colfax. Patricia, hi.
Hi. Thanks for having me on the air. I would like to say that Facebook has not had any real substantial oversight for all the years they've been in business. And I disagree. I don't think of it as social media. In a lot of ways, it's antisocial. And I don't think that Facebook should have another app for children. There's enough apps. There's enough going on. And a lot of times, like the person, your speaker, even said that a lot of people, children under 13, are using Instagram. So, like, I do not like the idea. Enough is enough. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all these platforms need to have greater and more definite substantial oversight. Thank you.
Patricia, thanks a lot for the call. Patricia, worried about the track record already of social media, doing big things, making changes, and not always looking ahead at the consequences, Sarah.
Yes, and I think she's right on the money there. This is a business, you know, this is a huge technological giant. So we have to be very skeptical of the motivations and really understand, you know, who's designing this, what's going into this. Are they going to be using features that really promote continued use, like we know that other companies do, to keep people on their apps? You know, with some of the concerns with social media, for even though, again, you should be at least 13 to use social media, there's advertisements, there's privacy concerns. There's a lot that we're trying to contend with. And I think if we want children to be in better communication with their peers, with their friends, with loved ones, there's other options that don't require sharing personal content or images online. For example, children can interact with each other through video chat, through FaceTime. So I think those types of opportunities to connect with others through like video conferencing or video phone calls could be really kind of get at that desire to connect with others, but again, mitigate some of the risks that come with sharing information online.
Thanks for the call, Patricia. We heard from Dave on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Dave says we need unbiased research first. Only then, when the design is carefully crafted to benefit children, should it be allowed on a trial basis? Otherwise, no. What do you think? What kind of research, Sarah, would you envision on something like this that would make you feel comfortable having kind of Instagram for kids?
I love that comment because I think what's been so challenging throughout all of this, and just in my research studying technology and media, is that, you know, we wholeheartedly adopt technology or apps or social media without considering the positive outcomes or benefits or consequences. And so I think it would be wonderful, and I think this would be amazing if there could be partnerships where we investigate the impacts of this, positive or negative. I want to hear from parents about what they struggle with in terms of managing the content, because I think one big piece is that because children and adolescents are accessing social media on their mobile devices, if they're not in the same room as their parents, or if, you know, we have busy schedules and we can't always be present when our child is on social media or on their mobile device, we can miss things. And we live in such a fast-paced world that it takes so much effort to navigate media parenting today. There's a lot to consider. And so I agree. I would much prefer to have unbiased research that would investigate this and really see, you know, does this actually make children's lives better? Does it make it better for them in terms of their social connections? Do they feel better about themselves? Are they learning something? And we know that depending on the content that children see online and how they engage with social media has an impact on the outcomes. And so we know that adolescents who just kind of passively scroll through social media, and engage in social comparisons, they do poorly. Whereas those youth who engage with their friends and talk to them and share support and use it in healthy ways can actually get benefits. And so you really have to know how to use these apps to get the benefit and to be protected from the risks. And so what I'm finding is that schools, parents, other community programs that implement some sort of education around how to use apps is going to be so important, because it's not clear yet. It's not like succinctly out there for parents to be able to pick up a guide and be able to figure out how to use these apps with their children in ways that are beneficial. So I definitely see a lack of information out there for those who really want to be involved.
We're talking about Facebook's plans for a version of Instagram for young kids. Sarah Domoff is our guest. She's an associate professor of clinical psychology and director of the Family Health Lab at Central Michigan University. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you want to tackle our guest's question? How are you dealing with social media for your kids? What challenges do you face in keeping up with what they're doing, putting limits on it? Are there limits? Is it completely off the table? And do you have thoughts on the idea of an Instagram made especially for kids under 13? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking about Facebook's plans, still in the planning stage, to launch a version of Instagram for kids 12 and younger. Sarah Domoff is with us, associate professor of clinical psychology and director of the Family Health Lab at Central Michigan University. She studies how technology affects kids and families. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts, your reactions, and maybe your experiences in your family, whether you're the parent or kid in said family, when it comes to handling issues around social media. 800-642-1234 is the number, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Let's go back to our calls now, our callers now. Spencer is with us in Fredonia. Spencer, hi.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call. So I don't think we need to worry about overseeing any kind of apps or overseeing anything. When I was growing up, it was my grandmother and my mother that taught me that calling people at 5 o'clock to ask if they could play was inappropriate because it was dinner time. The only thing that a parent ever showed me was how to dial numbers and remember my best friend's phone number. But nobody was putting, sanctions on how my phone was used or regulations on how my phone was used. It was parents from the get-go. And so that's my thing is I think we're overthinking this. We're not going to socially stunt our child if we're restricting them from Instagram, you know what I mean, or restricting them from certain apps. As always, you just need to be, I think parental control is where everything starts. And trying to control it through the device or through the app, that's too big of a thing to manage. But if you're looking over the shoulder of your child, like you should as a parent, that's where the real control is.
Spencer, thanks for the call. Sarah?
Yeah, so I think a big part of what we do in my clinic is work through some of these parenting challenges. So how do we help children engage with their peers offline as well? So what are ways that we can promote social interactions and positive social skills development in real life, in real time, offline? And I do think that, just as we would want parents to be involved in planning, like whether it be play dates or engagements, face to face, whether it be through community activities, we have in real life, offline, we have parents or adults present helping kids navigate challenges. And I think what gets really hard when we're online is that children may have conflict, but they don't have that adult there to say, hey, that's not how we talk to people, or how are you going to solve this problem that you have with your friends? And so I feel like, regarding the caller's comments, it's really important for parents to be involved, because children need to learn how to navigate these issues both offline and online.
Thanks a lot for that call, Spencer, at 800-642-1234. One challenge, though, Sarah, and you've touched on this a little already, Spencer and his family use the same kind of phone, maybe even the same phone line like I did growing up. But a parent might, you know, they might know Twitter and Facebook, but their kid's using Snapchat and TikTok, or throw in whatever combo, or the parent might not be a social media fan at all. So how difficult is it for parents to have that understanding of what the heck their kid's doing online in the first place?
That's a great question. And I think there's definite need for more education and support for parents around this. And one of the interventions that we've developed in my research team really teaches parents how to navigate these issues, because right now it's just not there. It's not easily accessible. And so one huge recommendation I have for parents is to, before giving your child a mobile device or giving them access to social media, is to have an agreement, a cell phone contract, a family media plan, something where your expectations are really laid out and you specify exactly what will happen and how you will resolve issues that may come up online. So you may experience conflict with a peer online. You may be asked to send something that you're not comfortable sending. Who can you go to get help for that? And what will I do, you know, as your parent, to navigate this situation with you? Being very clear about that and open, and having open communication about some of the risks that may occur online and what steps will be taken if such things happen can be very important, especially as children are getting access to social media at younger and younger ages.
Thanks a lot for that call, Spencer, at 800-642-1234. Sarah Domoff is with us from Central Michigan University, clinical psychologist there, talking about social media and kids. Sarah, an issue that seems to be coming up more and more is, you know, when I was 15, I could say something stupid and it was lost to the ages. Now teenagers are getting online and doing the saying maybe the same kind of things, but it's there forever. How do you train kids to watch out for long-term consequences of what they're posting online, and maybe how to be good bystanders for their peers at the same time?
That's a great question. We actually also really focus on that in some of our intervention work. And really, it's all about first helping teens, adolescents know about the risks, help them set up privacy settings so that only people they trust can see what they post. But it's also making amends if you make a mistake. You know, if you post something that's inappropriate or harmful or hurts other people, it's taking action to remedy, to fix the issue that you caused, and having your peers around you to also hold you accountable. So not being a silent bystander. So if you see someone online being cyberbullied or is the recipient of hateful speech, stand up for them, speak out, provide support. That's really critical. And I know that adolescents will make mistakes. This is how they grow. This is how they learn. But we need adults or other community members present with them saying, hey, you know, that wasn't cool. How are you going to fix this? What can we do so this doesn't happen again? And these are the consequences for your behavior.
In our last couple of minutes, Sarah, I think it's easy for a parent to give up and either say, okay, things change too quickly, I can't keep up, I'm going to ban social media completely, or I'm going to abandon any pretense that I can control it. A lot of what you have said today, though, seems like good rules of thumb that parents can apply regardless of the changing social media platforms out there in the world. What are some bedrock things you say to parents, no matter how the technology changes?
Absolutely. And so much of what we research and in the science behind this is based on what we know is important for children to grow up healthy and happy. And so one huge piece is you have to have open communication about what your expectations are online, what your expectations are for your child's behavior, just like you would regarding their behavior offline. So I really think if we can kind of take a framework of what would I expect of my child in real life, in person, and apply that to online settings, and making sure that those same rules and expectations and values that you have for their behavior in person translate online. And so one thing is communication. The second piece is having limits. So setting limits on when your child or adolescent can go online or, you know, use social media. So we see, you know, links between excessive types of social media use or other types of digital media use and certain risky outcomes, mental health concerns. But that link there is explained a lot by factors such as when the child is going online, when they're using phones. And so another big piece, in addition to talking to them about what they post and what they see, is helping them understand that there are times when we shouldn't be on screens. And when we look at the links between some of the excessive use of digital media and mental health concerns or physical health outcomes, we see a lot of that's mediated by disrupted sleep or taking time away from other important activities where we want our child's, you know, complete focus and attention. And so I think huge message is open communication. Make sure you're aware of the content that your child is seeing or posting online and have communication about that. And then make sure that you have designated zones or rooms or places in your home where there are no screens, such as the bedroom, such as around dinner time, when you have family interaction. So again, it's the content and the context that really matter.
Sarah, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Sarah Domoff is an associate professor of clinical psychology and director of the Family Health Lab at Central Michigan University. We talked through about Facebook's plans to launch a version of Instagram for kids 13 and younger and some wider issues when it comes to families and social media.